The IRS, its inspector general, and private security experts tell the Senate that the security protections hackers overcame to steal data on more than 100,000 taxpayers have outlived their usefulness. The challenge now is finding an alternative that's more secure, but also not so complicated that no one will use it. More now from Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu.
The massive data breach the IRS disclosed last week involved its Get Transcript system, which an organized criminal network used to download granular tax and financial data on 104,000 people. The authentication system the agency had been using for its web portal used out-of-wallet information, sometimes called knowledge-based authentication. In this case, visitors were challenged with multiple-choice questions based on data culled from credit bureaus, who provide knowledge-based authentication programs as a service to the IRS and private companies. They were asked whether they've had credit cards from a certain bank, whether they've lived on a certain street in the past, or to choose from a list of phone numbers which one they've had in the past. But because all of the 104,000 victims had already had their identity stolen, much of that information was already known to the hackers, or easily deduced with a quick internet search. Russell George, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, says while knowledge-based authentication might have been a good security mechanism for government agencies and banks a few years ago, its usefulness is rapidly dwindling.
The IRS faces a daunting task of protecting its data and IT environment from the ever-changing and rapidly evolving hacker world. This incident provides a stark reminder that even security controls that may have been adequate in the past can be overcome by hackers who are anonymous, persistent, and have access to vast amounts of personal data and knowledge. The IRS needs to be even more vigilant in protecting the confidentiality of sensitive taxpayer data. Otherwise, as shown by this incident, taxpayers can be exposed to the loss of privacy and to financial damages resulting from identity theft or other financial crimes.
John Koskinen, the IRS commissioner, said much the same thing. He's ordered the agency to take its Get Transcript system, which delivered transcripts to 23 million taxpayers over the past year, completely offline until the IRS can find a more secure solution. He pointed out that none of the information the criminals used to access the system was actually stolen from the IRS, but as organized criminal groups continue to increase in sophistication, the sorts of personal information that was once known only by the person involved is increasingly available to criminal syndicates. And every time another breach happens, those databases grow in richness and detail.
There are breaches across the private sector, across the economy. All of that data is being collected by organized criminals who have a database in what's the so-called darknet that exceeds the amount of data that's in the regular web that we all use. So it is, as the Inspector General says, an increasingly complicated challenge. What worked yesterday, what worked a year ago, may not be working anymore today, so you continually have to attack that problem. The problem with the authentication process for the website is what was a perfectly good security mechanism that was used by private sector financial institutions and others, as the Inspector General says, is being overtaken by events.
In Senate testimony on Tuesday, private security experts urged the IRS and other agencies to transition away from authentication methods that merely ask people questions that only they are supposed to know. That knowledge can easily be stolen and transmitted around the world instantaneously, particularly when that information is made up precisely from the kind of data held by credit bureaus. Dr. Kevin Fu, a computer science professor at the University of Michigan, says some form of knowledge-based authentication could be kept in place, but so far, there's little documented evidence of how well it works.
One of the problems is, on the science and engineering side, there's very little understanding about how to measure these kinds of authentication systems, how well they work. There are quite a few negative results about how they don't work, but there's very little on the instant KBA. And so encouraging those in academia, for instance, who work in cybersecurity to also work with those in the social and behavioral sciences can be helpful in discovering what kinds of authentications will work well for the entire U.S. population.
Experts say some form of two-factor authentication would be ideal. In general, that means not just relying on information typed into a web browser, but some other independent means to verify that an internet user is who they claim to be before granting them access to data. Jeffrey Green is the Director for Government Affairs at Symantec.
There's a difference between identity verification, when you initially set up an account. If you are sending the confirmation to the email you asked for when they set up the account, it's circular. So you're still dealing with the same person, some type of out-of-band communication, whether through the phone or through a letter. So that is on the front end. On the back end, once you have established the account, using some kind of two-factor authentication to make sure that no one has the stolen information the chairman was talking about.
From the IRS's perspective, though, setting up a two-factor authentication process is easier said than done. Companies like Google implement the additional security measure by sending a code to a user's mobile phone and requiring them to enter that PIN before they can log into their account. But Koskinen says the IRS is a long way from being able to implement that sort of system. For one thing, the agency wants its online services to be easily available to as many people as possible. Otherwise, the demands for its in-person and telephone customer service venues would skyrocket. And because of its antiquated technologies, the IRS is not in a good position to handle two-way communications in the electronic age.
Part of our problem is because we don't communicate with taxpayers yet electronically, so we never send emails back or forth because we have no security for them. If we could, as part of our development and refinement of our systems, be able to communicate electronically, it would accomplish a lot of goals, one of which would be the two-factor authentication then would be much more significant. In financial institutions, others, when you want to change your password, they send you a key to your email address because they know it's your email address.
Still, Koskinen says, the IRS is exploring ways that it could quickly enhance its security measures by, for example, requiring Get Transcript users to provide credit card information that could be linked back to a known mailing address. That measure would still be far from foolproof, but IRS officials say they're trying to make sure their online services are secure, but not so burdensome that they defeat the point of getting services online altogether. Terrence Milholland, the IRS's chief technology officer, says that's the exact conversation the agency had before it went live with the Get Transcript system.
The debate inside was, how many of those should we have? What degree of confidence would we have if we, instead of asking 4 or 5, if we asked 15 or 16? Each one of those questions that you ask can increase the confidence level that it really is the person who you think it is. I think if you ask 16, you're in the 99% range of confidence. But that's then a burden on the taxpayer and such. So the decision point inside is, how easy do you make it versus the risk that you're wrong?
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.